Wow. Sure. Nick DiGilio here. Tuesday morning, and it is the first morning of our week-long celebration of my 30th anniversary at WGN. I've been a part of WGN for 30 years. It's ridiculous. The anniversary is officially on Friday, and so we're going to each morning do some special stuff to celebrate those crazy 30 years that I've been a part of the station. And so this morning, as we normally do, we talk to Colin, we talk to Eric, we talk about the box office, and we review the movies. It's going to be a special segment this morning because we're going to talk about their favorite movies and my favorite movies from the past 30 years, dating back to 1985. And so I want to welcome Colin. Hey, Colin.
Hello there.
And Eric. Hey, Eric.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
30 years. That's
a long time. That's Letterman territory.
You know, yeah. Hey, Letterman was on for 33 years before he retired. I'm not retiring, though.
Okay, good.
That's not going to happen. Well, thank you, guys. You guys have been with me for, geez, how long have you guys been doing this?
About half the time. 15
yeah.
Years.
About 15 years? About 15 years.
About 99, right when you, I think it was right when you first got the show.
98 is when I first got got the show.
I think 99 is when I started calling in regularly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, all right.
We're halfway there.
Yeah. Yes, you guys are. All right. So in 1985, Eric, you were 10, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm 10 years older than you.
Yep.
Colin, you were what, like 13, 12?
Yeah, about 12, 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So 85 might be hard for you guys to remember.
Not really.
We're not that old.
No, I know. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, it's like, oh, you were kids then, you know?
Yeah.
It's like asking me to go back and remember 1975, although, Jaws.
Yes.
So, which, by the way,
womb,
I am screening at the Movie Co. Theater.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday, June 1st.
Fabulous.
That's going to be.
I'll be there.
It's going to be unbelievable. Jaws rules.
Yeah.
It's only $10 to get in. Starts at 8 o'clock. Meet at Bogart's at 7 on the second floor of the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. Free parking. It's going to be awesome. Digitally remastered. It's going to look spectacular. It's Jaws, for God's sake. All right. Really quickly, let me fly down the box office. Tomorrowland made $32.9 million. Pitch Perfect made $30.8 million. Mad Max Fury Road, oh my God, made $24.8 million. That now, you know, I mean, that's underperforming, don't you think, Eric?
No, I don't. It's actually, I mean, it might look that way next to Pitch Perfect 2. But we called that a few.
Yeah.
Ago,
I mean,
so
I
not a big surprise.
No, I expected Pitch Perfect 2 to be the winner over over that course of the weekend without question.
No, as the second weekend, under its belt, it's actually performing quite nicely. You can tell by the numbers that word of mouth is starting to catch on a bit. It's, you know, it is going to cross 100 million sometime during this week, even before it reaches the weekend. It's actually, I mean, history suggests that this thing could actually get up to somewhere around 175 million.
Yeah, all right,
you know, so yeah. Word of mouth, keep it going, people.
No, I've been, you know, I've not shut up about it since I saw it. Forrest Poltergeist, what a piece of crap that was.
Yeah.
22.6 million. Avengers Age of Ultron comes in at 5. 404,000. That's less than the original Avengers, correct?
Yeah, it's well behind what the original was doing, but there's still on target for close to $500 million, if not, you know, it's probably going to be somewhere between 450 and 475.
Yeah. Age of Adeline coming in at number 6. Hot Pursuit. Wow. Not good.
No.
3.6 million. Number 8, Furious 7, 2.2 million. Number 9 is Far From Maddening Crowd, 2.2 million. And then number 10 is Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2. Okay. So that's your top 10. All right. Before we get to our thoughts on the best movies of the last 30 years, was when I started on the radio station, was 1985. Let's talk about Mad Max since I was off last week.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start. Colin, tell everybody about Mad Max Fury Road.
All right. Well, this is the fourth entry in the Mad Max saga. I wouldn't say it's a sequel or a reboot. It's just Mad Max's world continuing, but with a different actor. And once again, George Miller has expanded this world in a way that, you know, few people, you know, think of their franchises by just, you know, playing, giving the world different rules, different characters. This time, Mad Max is captured as a prisoner at the beginning of the film, and is basically used as a blood bag for the main a character that you know is just he's basically just a donor, just a blood bag, a donor, and a prop basically. But Charlie Theron's character, Furiosa.
Yeah.
Is you know, you could just call this movie Furiosa Fury Road if you really want to.
Oh man,
you wouldn't be too far off. And she's, you know, got a plan to basically subvert this whole other world that is run by I'm blanking on the main character.
Hater Joe.
Hater Joe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, just take these his wives, his four. No, I'm sorry, his five wives.
Five wives.
That he's been
five
using.
Wives.
Yes, been,
yeah.
One of them is pregnant, and they're all pretty much on the road to being pregnant, and unless they escape and breed perfect children. But Furiosa takes them away, leads them to safe passage, a place called the Green Land or the Green World.
Green Place.
And, the Green Place. And, you know, they've got Mad Max eventually joins up with them. And basically the movie is just one big chase with the bad guys chasing Mad Max and Furiosa all down through, you know, the open deserts and basically doing what Mad Max movies do, which is kick a lot of chase sequence ass.
Yeah, okay. All right, listen, we got a break, Colin.
Okay.
We got to just hang on, you guys. We are going to talk more about Mad Max, Fury Road, which, by the way, rules the planet. So we'll take a quick break right here on WGN. Come back. We're going to finish up talking about Mad Max, Fury Road, and then we're celebrating our 30th anniversary here on WGN, and we're going to go back and talk about the best movies from 1985. From 1985 on. And by the way, we're going to open up the phone lines later. And I want to hear from you. What are your favorite movies from the last 30 years? Keep that list in your head, and we'll talk about it later. Coming up right here on 720 WGN. Yeah. Nick DiGilio, morning one of our celebration of me being with WGN for 30 years, which officially is on May 29th, which oddly corresponds with the Walk of Fame celebration, which I just find weird. I don't know why I find that so weird. 10 of my compadres, which you will hear about, will tell you, give you all the details about it, will be put into stone. And it corresponds. It's on the same day as my 30th anniversary at the station. So we will also be doing a salute to Roy Leonard later in the week. We're going to be doing Pat and Ron highlights. We'll be playing best of clips from the past. And right now, though, I got Colin and I got Eric with me. And as we do every Monday morning, well, it's now Tuesday morning, technically, because yesterday was Memorial Day, we talk about the movies. All right, Colin just told us about the plot to Mad Max Fury Road. So, Colin, what did you think of this movie?
I've seen it up to three times.
I saw it, by the way, Colin, I saw it three times in 24 hours.
Yes, you did. That's pretty extraordinary. I think that might be a record. I don't think I've done three times in 24 hours. I've done twice 24 hours, but I don't think I've done three.
I went to the 5:10.
Congratulations on that.
I went to the 5:10, walked down to the bar, had a few drinks, went back to the 10:10, and then saw it the next day. So
that sounds good.
So I don't know. I guess I've tipped my hat here about how much whether I liked it or not. But Colin, go ahead.
Alert.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, there's no spoiler here. There's something so beautiful about seeing a director at the age of 70. Which is around the age that most directors start retiring.
Yeah.
Work at the top of his game. I mean, really at the top. I mean, this is a guy who's just firing on all cylinders.
It's,
and you can tell, I think it's been gestating for at least 10 years.
Colin.
Because.
I think it's the best movie he's ever made.
I do, too.
I absolutely think it's the best movie he's ever made.
And which is really saying something when you look at that resume.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are movies on. I mean, he has really. I always thought of the Mad Max trilogy as a perfect trilogy because of the way he just expands the world more and more with each film. And continuing with this one, and not once just resting on the laurels of, oh, we'll just put a chase scene here and a chase scene there and a chase scene there, and we'll just do what we did with Road Warrior or Mad Max. We'll just, everyone will be happy. That's not the way this director operates. He never has. I mean, you know, he's made, a bunch of sequels, Babe, Pig in the City, Happy Feet 2, and not one of those movies is phoned in, and they could have been. They could have easily been made a lot of money. So here's the move. So now comes the Mad Max, and this is more than just a victory lap. This is really just an action movie for fans of movies. I mean, when you take into consideration how much went into this film, very little in the way of special effects, everybody doing those stunts, as many women involved in this movie as men, which is a rare thing in action film, and the sophistication involved in not only just putting together these complex stunts, but pulling them off in such a fashion that is just like, man, you could tell this is the kind of movie you watch. You go, man, this is a director with real passion, and I see that passion in every single frame of this film. That doesn't happen very often. Peter Jackson did it with Lord of the Rings. Spielberg has his moments as well, where you just watch a director really just being in love with the work, and actors who are just game to go wherever he wants to go, and it is. Just not just a thrilling and exciting chase movie, but just a beautiful thing to witness of all these great artists and collaborators coming together on something that is just a joy to watch every single time. It never gets any less exciting the more you see it. And I will be going to see it again. I want this movie to make money, so people need to make that happen too.
Yeah.
This is one of the greats.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Eric.
Well, full disclosure, I have seen it three times as well.
All right, we've all seen it three times.
Yeah, and you have to understand, you know, while we all love movies and we love when we see something we love, that, you know, we'll talk about it, you know, nonstop. But we don't always get a chance to go out or make the time to go see it multiple times in the theaters. There's way too much to do nowadays. But here's a case where you have a movie where you basically want to Clockwork Orange the entire world and force them to watch an action masterpiece of the highest order. I mean, it's like the entire summer was put on notice with this movie. Marvel was put on notice with this movie. You know, and you think about, you know, Warner Brothers, I mean, I know they're the ones who released Fury Road and all, but they didn't, you know, ultimately didn't want him doing Justice League, or DC didn't want George Miller doing Justice League, you know, and I wonder just what's being offered, you know, on what's on the table for this guy. And it should be everything, because George Miller's resume might be one of the most unsung resumes in movie history.
The only movie that George Miller's ever made that I'm not crazy about is The Witches of Eastwick. That's the only one.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty great too.
Yeah,
everything
else I love, including Lorenzo's Oil, which is a completely different kind of movie than the stuff that he'd ever done before.
Yeah, it's a great amazing resume when you stop to think about it. And yes, he did win an Oscar for Happy Feet, so he does have that. But you know, now it's the time that people should be looking at Mad Max Fury Road as a Best Picture candidate. This is not just a case of just like, hey, it was a bunch of fanboys and we love this movie, and you know, this is not Vin Diesel saying that Furious 7 should be nominated for Best Picture. Seriously, the entire Fast and Furious nation is on notice after this movie.
Somebody posted on my Facebook page this meme. And the top part said, and it had the cast of Furious, and it said, "We drive Furious." And then the bottom part was the guitarist with the flame shooting out of the neck.
Yes.
And it said, "That's effing cute."
Right. yeah, I mean, and then we can talk, you know, all day about how tremendous the action sequence is, or we can just say how tremendous the action sequence is, considering it's one big chase scene in a way. But it's also just a remarkable piece of sort of minimalist storytelling, but with so much grandeur behind it. I mean, Tom Hardy probably has less than 20 lines of dialogue in the entire movie.
Right.
And then you have to look at how terrific Charlize Theron is.
She pretty much owns the movie.
Oh, she does.
It really
is her movie. I mean, it's her. She's driving the action. You know, Mad Max is just sort of along for the ride, you know, for his moment of redemption too. But you know, it's her movie, and there's little things throughout the movie that I see every time I see it, and just, you know, just moments of heroism, and you know, by the women and stuff, and that final chase sequence is one of the greatest action sequences that's ever been committed to film.
Absolutely,
it's that simple.
Absolutely.
And if you haven't seen this movie, if you've paid money to see Age of Ultron and you haven't paid this movie, shame on you forever.
Yeah, what am I going to say? It is a phenomenal piece of work. One of the greatest action movies ever made. And I know that sounds like hyperbole, but it's the damn truth. It is one of the greatest action movies ever made. And it's stunning to watch something. There's just something, you know, like, I like the Fast and Furious movies, and I enjoy, you know, the Marvel movies and all that stuff. But there's something different about this movie. There's something more pure. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's something obviously more real, because, you know, obviously the stunts are real and there's very little CGI, but it just feels different. And obviously, it's directed by a guy who, can direct the hell out of chase scenes and action. It is a stunning piece of work. I don't know if I'll see a better movie this year. I really don't. And I know that you guys are probably looking forward to the Star Wars movie at the end of the year, but I don't know if this is, I don't know if it's going to top this. This is the deal right now. This is the movie. Any movie that comes out that's great, it has to be compared to Mad Max Fury Road, which is easily, without question, the best film of 2015. There's no question about it. I was blown away by it. I can't tell you the number of times that I kind of jumped out of my seat. You know what I mean? That I was like sort of rocking back and forth, and that I actually vocalized and went, "Oh!"
Yeah.
And oh. And it's just a phenomenal piece of work. Leaps and bounds better than anything that's out right now. It's stunning. I mean, I don't see movies three times in 24 hours. It doesn't happen. George Miller rules. Let me just say that.
Mm-hmm.
And for these idiots who are complaining about the feminist slant on this movie, what the hell is wrong with them?
It's just the world we live in.
I mean, come on. The chicks are badass in this movie.
Yeah.
And they did their own stunts. I mean, come on, man. Please. And the dude's playing the drums, and the dude playing the guitar with the flames shooting out of it. I mean, what the hell?
I am so glad I avoided that second trailer that came out that showed that. When I saw the guitar guy was when I actually first saw the movie.
Oh, is that right?
And I just like, yeah. Oh, this is just glorious. I laughed out loud. I just with joy. I just thought, man, we are in for a ride.
The other thing about it is very quickly, because we got a break, is that there aren't many directors like George Miller who have a more original imagination. Because when you see something like Mad Max Fury Road, I've never seen anything like it. And I am a huge fan of the three previous Mad Max movies. And he's, as you said, Colin, he's expanded. He's made it different. And there's stuff in this movie that I've never seen ever. And it's just phenomenal. There's nothing more we can say. So, and by the way, since we're going to take a break and come back, it is one of the best movies of the last 30 years.
Most certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll take a break and we're going to come back. Colin, Eric, hang on. And we are going to talk about the best movies of the past 30 years. We'll come back right here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. This is the first morning of our week-long celebration of the insane fact that I've been with WGN for 30 years. This Friday, officially, May 29th, will be my 30th anniversary on WGN. And so each morning this week, we're going to do some special stuff. And this morning, we're going to open up the phone lines later, and we want to talk to you about your favorite movies dating back to 1985, dating back to the first year that I was reviewing movies on Roy Leonard's show. So your favorite movies of the last 30 years. Colin and Eric join me to review movies every week, and so we're doing a special thing here. to talk about the best movies of the last 30 years. So did you guys come up with, like lists or anything?
I didn't.
No, I just kind of randomly threw down titles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Favorites, mostly.
Okay. Well, I've got my lists dating back to 1985.
Yeah, I got mine date back to 85 as well, so.
And, you know, I looked back at these lists, and there were, like, you go back and you look at the lists, and you know, obviously, as you guys know, you've been doing this a long time. Sometimes you go back and you go, oh, man, I would have changed that. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Don't you
yeah.
think there are times it's like.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you go, oh, yeah, that's a pretty good list. So here's the deal. I'm going to fly through my best films of the last 30 years, my number ones on my list, okay? Starting in 1985. 1985, number one on my list was Lost in America. 1986, Blue Velvet. 1987, Hope and Glory. 1988, Dead Ringers. 1989, Do the Right Thing. 1990, Wild at Heart. 1991, Barton Fink. 1992, Unforgiven. 1993, Fearless. 1994, Forrest Gump. And yes, it is better than Pulp Fiction. 1995, Seven. 1996, Dead Man. 1997, 187. Which I believe I might be the only person that put that on the top of their list that year. 1998, A Simple Plan. 1999, of course, Magnolia. I mean, come on. 2000, Crouching Tiger.
Crouching Hidden Dragon.
Hidden Dragon. And let me see here. 2001. Royal Tenenbaums, 2002, Punch Drunk Love, 2003, Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. I think that was one of the only times when all three of us
had it number one.
On our top 10 list was number one.
Mm-hmm.
2004, Sideways, 2005, let me turn the page here. Is History of Violence. 2006 is Children of Men. 2007, There Will Be Blood. 2008, The Wrestler. 2009, let me turn the page here, Hurt Locker. 2010, hang on. Blue Valentine, 2011, Take Shelter, 2012, wait a minute, hold on, 2012, Flight, 2013, Gravity, and 2014, Interstellar. So those were my top choices for the past 30 years.
We have a few matches there, but I want to call your attention to 2002.
Yeah.
And see that you're reading about your list when you actually wrote them, right? Because
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
what would your 2002 be right now?
At 25th Hour.
Right.
Seriously, without question. Yes.
Yeah.
25th Hour. So, Colin, throw out some titles. What were some of your favorites? What are your tops?
All right. All my lists are published online as well, going back to 1985, because 85 was about the time that I started looking at movies as something more than just entertainment. So that's a year I remember quite clearly. And so for me, 85, number one movie was Brazil. 86, Blue Velvet. 87, Broadcast News. 88, Last Temptation of Christ. 89, Do the Right Thing. 90, I don't care, Joe versus Volcano is my favorite movie in 1990. And not Goodfellas. Goodfellas is a close second favorite, but yeah. 91, Fisher King. 92, The Player. 93, Fearless. 94, The Three Colors Trilogy. 95, A Little Princess. 96, Fargo. 97, The Ice Storm. 98, The Truman Show. 99, Magnolia. 2000, George Washington. 2001, Royal Tenenbaums. 02, 25th Hour. 03, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. 04, Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. 05, King Kong. 06, Children of Men. 07, Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. 08, WALL-E. 09, Where the Wild Things Are. 2010, Social Network. 2011, Tree of Life. 2012, Perks of Being a Wallflower. 2013, Gravity. And 2014, Whiplash. I think the last 30 years have been pretty good.
Yeah, no, lots of great movies. Eric, throw out some titles that you remember loving, Eric.
Yeah, I kind of went with more of my favorites more than like the 30-year project that you guys have done. Obviously, you've done it over the years, Nick and Colin. You kind of retroactively did it a few years ago. That's a project I still need to do. Actually, but if we're starting with 1985, we're talking about the year of my favorite movie of all time, and that's Back to the Future.
Of course.
So that's your 85. 86, my favorite movie was Aliens. So there's that. And 87, there's a lot of good stuff in 87. Colin Broadcast News, that was my favorite, obviously. But that's also the year of Untouchables and RoboCop and Raising Arizona. So you got those. 88, you got Roger Rabbit and Die Hard. So you got those.
Right.
89, you have Field of Dreams. 90, you have Goodfellas and Miller's Crossing, two of my favorites from that year.
Yeah.
My favorite film of 1991 is still JFK. So there's that.
Okay.
92 is that's a weird year. That's like I can't really decide what my favorite was. From that year, Unforgiven, I like a lot. The Player, I like a lot. 93, Schindler's List. 94, Forrest Gump. I agree wholeheartedly with you, Nick. Best movie of 1994.
Oh yeah.
95, I like Braveheart. 96, not just Fargo, but Beautiful Girls, as well.
Great movie.
Yeah. So one of my favorites. 97, Colin, what was your favorite movie of 97?
Ice Storm,
yeah, okay, obviously I like that. Boogie Nights is very high on that list for me. You mentioned Toy Story from 1995, the Pixar Revolution. 98, Saving Private Ryan. 2000, Almost Famous. 2000, and Castaway, actually. 2001, Memento. 2002, Minority Report. We mentioned Return of the King, obviously. 2004, Garden State. 2006, The Prestige. Still my favorite film of that year. 2007, Hot Fuzz. Then you got 2008 with WALL-E and, of course, a little film that Nick loves called The Dark Knight. 2009, Colin and I agreed, Where the Wild Things Are. Was the best film of that year. I know. 2010, Inception. 2010. 2011, Moneyball is now my favorite film of 2011. A couple years ago, Her was my favorite film.
Yep.
And, you might as well just say 2015, Mad Max Fury Road. So let's just end the discussion right now.
All right, cool. All right, you guys hang on, okay?
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Hold on. And let's see if I can put you on hold. Oh, I can. All right. Cool. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more about the best 30 movies. I'm sorry, the best movies of the last 30 years. And then we're going to open up the phone lines and have you call in with your choices right here on 720 WGN, celebrating my 30th anniversary here on WGN. Crazy. All right. We'll be right back. Yeah. Some who succeeded and some who suffered in vain. Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. We are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. It's a Tuesday morning, and this is the first morning of our week-long celebration of the unbelievable and ridiculous fact that I've been part of WGN for 30 years, and my official anniversary is Friday. So we're doing some special stuff each morning. And this morning, we've got Colin and Eric with us, and we are discussing the best movies of the last 30 years. And then we're going to open up the phone lines, and we want to hear from you guys. We welcome back Colin, and we welcome back Eric. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks.
Hello there.
Let me go through a few others that I loved from each year real quick. 85, Pale Rider, Fandango, After Hours, Day of the Dead. 86, At Close Range, The Fly, Something Wild, Sid and Nancy. 87, Near Dark, Barfly, The Stepfather, Broadcast News. 88, Last Temptation of Christ, Bird, The Beast, which is a criminally underrated movie, and Shy People and Midnight Run. 89, Casualties of War, Drugstore Cowboy, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, Heathers, Fabulous Baker Boys. 90, To Sleep with Anger, Die Hard 2, White Hunter, Black Heart, Miami Blues, Reversal of Fortune. 91, Point Break, Defending Your Life, Hanging with the Homeboys, Angel at My Table. That's 91. 92, Naked Lunch, Glengarry Glenn Ross, Bob Roberts. 93, Dazed and Confused. 93 was a pretty spectacular year. I look at this whole list and it's like, wow, unbelievable. Naked, which I still think is Mike Leigh's best movie, and Thewlis' best performance. 94, Threesome, The Ref, Interview with a Vampire, Speed. 95, Strange Days, Babe, Dead Man Walking. 96, Beautiful Girls, as you mentioned, Kingpin. Scream, Big Night. 97, Contact, for God's sake. Lost Highway, In the Company of Men. 98, Babe, Pig in the City, Living Out Loud, The Butcher Boy, Blade. 99, The Matrix, Existence, The Blair Witch Project, Three Kings, Arlington Road. That was a good year. 99 was a good year, yeah. 2000, Traffic, Chicken Run, You Can Count on Me. 2001, Donnie Darko, With a Friend Like Harry, Amoros Perros. The Others, which I still think is a tremendous horror movie. 2002, Adaptation, Far From Heaven, Minority Report, Jackass the Movie, which I still love. 2003, 21 Grams, May, Pieces of April, Spider. 2004, Shaun of the Dead, Spider-Man 2, The Aviator, Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events, Mean Girls, a really great movie. 2005, King Kong, Land of the Dead, The New World, The Ice Harvest, criminally underrated movie, 40-Year-Old Virgin. 2006, Babel, The Departed, The Fountain, all great movies. 2007, Juno, Black Snake Moan, Hot Fuzz, You're the Dog, Zodiac. 2008, Shotgun Stories, Diary of the Dead, Let the Right One In. 2009, Away We Go, A Serious Man, Up. And let's see, 2010, Winter's Bone, Black Swan, 127 Hours, How to Train Your Dragon, 2011. Hesher, Hugo, The Artist, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and 2011. Zero Dark Thirty, Moonrise Kingdom, Killer Joe, Cabin in the Woods, 2013. American Hustle, Stories We Tell, The World's End, 2014. Birdman, Cheap Thrills, Inherent Vice, and The Babadook. The Babadook. So,
I hope people are writing these titles down.
Yeah.
Thank God for podcasts.
Yeah. Go back and now, what are some of your favorite? Colin, I'll start with you. What are some of your favorite experiences of movie going in the past 30 years?
Well, I mean, I look at the 85 through 88 as sort of my formative years, and movies, the time when I started watching movies for as much for cinematography and editing and the auteur as director, and so I look at 85 through 88, and I just look at movies like Brazil, After Hours, Blue Velvet, Something Wild, Empire of the Sun, Raising Arizona, Swimming to Cambodia, Evil Dead 2, and Midnight Run, Die Hard, Roger Rabbit, and just so like that whole period and those kinds of films are the movies that I really responded to really strongly, and as well as going to see fun movies and like Eric said, Aliens and Back to the Future and stuff like that, and still having a good time at the movies. But for the 80s, that's what the 80s are about for me. 90s is kind of, for me, I think it's kind of the least interesting decade in terms of film history and film movements and everything like that. I think the biggest leap forward all really had to do with special effects and use of CGI and everything. But the downside of that is it took until about 1998 before directors started really using CGI for doing something really extraordinary. Not to take anything away from Jurassic Park or Terminator 2, because those are, I think, great movies that really revolutionized filmmaking, as well as Toy Story. But I think 98, you get into movies like Babe, Pig in the City, and Pleasantville, that really started to push the boundaries of what you could really do with special effects that weren't possible 5 or 10 years ago. But I think 99 is probably 1994, 1999 are probably the high points of that decade as far as, art and entertainment. I mean, you got, Magnolia, you got Eyes Wide Shut, and, movies that really sort of pushed boundaries of storytelling, like, Being John Malkovich and, Fight Club and Blair Witch Project. Those three movies I think are pretty extraordinary.
And The Matrix, The Matrix came out in 99.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The Matrix. And then I think, you get into the 2000s and then you start to see like a real shift in the way movies are made. I mean, you get a whole renaissance, with documentaries and animation, and basically independent filmmaking becoming a lot easier for, people to pick up a cheap camera and make a really compelling film. And that kind of takes you where we are today, which is, I think we're living in a time when, unlimited possibilities. And it's a pretty extraordinary time. So I think the last 30 years as a film lover, I feel pretty fortunate to, be around, at this time when the medium is really starting to just blow people's minds with what can be done.
Yeah.
There's no limits now, which is great.
I think the timing of this conversation that we're having is pretty amazing considering Mad Max Fury Road just came out.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, it's everything that you were just talking about, Colin, and that's a great summation. I mean, it really is. All right, you guys, hang on. We're going to take another break. When we come back, Eric, I want to hear your feelings about the experiences that you had in the past 30 years watching movies, okay? All right, cool. Everybody hang on. And when we come back, we will talk to Colin and Eric, and we'll get Eric's thoughts on the his experiences, his favorite experiences of watching movies in the last 30 years. We're celebrating the 30th anniversary of me, my dumbass, on this radio station for 30 years. And we're doing it with Colin and Eric. Special stuff all week long. We'll give you more details coming up. But when we come back, we'll hear Eric's thoughts. And we're going to open up the phone lines in just a little bit for you to call in and talk about your favorite moments and your favorite movies of the past 30 years. Right here on 720 WGN. Now, normally we do Monday morning movie reviews with Colin and Eric, but yesterday was Memorial Day, so I had the day off. I'm back now. It's Tuesday morning, and we're talking about the best experiences and the best movies of the past 30 years. We're doing a week-long sort of celebration of my 30th anniversary as part of WGN. So we're kicking it off with Colin and Eric. And we're talking about the last 30 years of movies. And we're going to open up the phone lines and have you guys call in with your thoughts as well. So let's get back. All right. Colin gave his summation about some of his favorite moments of watching movies in the past 30 years. What about you, Eric?
Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting to consider this entire conversation and sort of bring it full circle. What we're sort of getting at here is sort of the idea that, movies, the way movies age over time, we sort of see the, the cream rise, definitely rise to the top. As professionals, doing this professionally, aside from just being just general movie lovers, we do have to sit through a lot of garbage throughout the years. But, we're not talking about that tonight. We're talking about, these movies that have we've loved and have inspired us and moved us in some ways over the years. And it's kind of like, movies age, sort of in the way that we kind of look at ourselves in the mirror. And we kind of hope that we age, that we hope that we can grow with these movies and that, movies, affect us differently, 30 years later than they did, 30 years earlier. But, I go back, you guys are doing your best of list, and I'm thinking of, movies that were favorites over the years, and some of them, had very, personal connections to them. I think go back to Aliens, which was a film that was sort of like one of many rites of passages for me. It was a movie that my dad took me to because the first one scared the hell out of me when I was 5 years old. And so I was that's a fun story for another time. But, I was literally like Ripley in that movie where, having these nightmares and cold sweats and things like that and literally having to go back and face the monster, head on. And so, here we are in this movie theater seeing this movie that, is completely just blows me away. And I came out the other side of it, being able to sleep well after that. And then you go, you forward, to say like 1993 when I'm graduating high school and my favorite director comes out with this groundbreaking film, like Colin was talking about, a groundbreaking use of CGI and, models and with Jurassic Park. So you got this sort of post-graduation gift for me as I'm, moving into the next phase of my life. And then later that year, you have the same director come out with Schindler's List, sort of marking his own sort of leap forward in maturity and stuff. And so there was just something very timely about that for me. And then obviously there was a period where I went to film school. It's where Colin and I met. That's like a few months later after Jurassic Park. We actually saw Schindler's List together that December when it opened. And, you know, you it's these moments that, that mark the time, you know, like baseball. so, you know, and these are the memories that we want to have. You know, movies are, you know, they're placeholders for all of us. You know, we remember where we were when we saw certain things, or how we felt after something. That, you know, I mean, hopefully, you know, we're still around in another 50 years and we're still talking about Mad Max Fury Road, and you know, remember when we saw that for the third time in 24 hours. you know, and I think that's, you know, that's why we love movies so much. You know, it goes beyond the artistry and the storytelling and all that kind of stuff. And just the movies become a part of us, and that's why they hold the test of time.
You know, this goes before 1985, but the you know, Colin, you were talking about your experience of seeing what was the in 85 the movie that
well, it was a bunch of them. Brazil After Hours.
It was just that those things happened.
Yeah.
For me, and I've told this story before, and you guys know this story. It was when I saw Halloween. Everything changed when I saw Halloween, and I had seen a ton of movies at that point. You know, my parents had been taking me to movies since I was like four. And all kinds of movies, you know, inappropriate movies and children's movies and crazy movies. And when I saw Halloween, man, I remember walking out of the theater. And this was back, you know, when it was like I saw it at the State Lake Theater downtown in Chicago, which, of course, doesn't exist anymore. But it was only, you know, it was a big, huge, you know, old movie house. And you'd walk out, and they had the posters for the movies, which they don't really have anymore. There's no posters for the movies. And I specifically looked at the director's name and remembered John Carpenter, because that was the first movie that I had ever seen where I pretty much realized what a director did. And it just changed the way I looked at movies. It is the single movie that changed my perspective on any other movie that I ever saw. And so I hold that one really, really close to my heart. And that experience is one that I'll never forget. But so many experiences, you know, it's weird because a lot of the experiences that I have had since 1985 happened in the screening room. So it's like, yeah, okay, I saw a lot of these movies, you know, sitting next to Roy Leonard and Dan Geyer and Sergio and all these guys for many, many, many years. And Dave Kerr, who I personally think is still the best film critic alive, and watching movies with these guys. And it was a very special experience. But like stuff like going with my friends to go see something like Fever Pitch. which came out, by the way, in 1985.
Clarify which Fever Pitch we're talking about.
Ryan. Well, it's the one. It's the one that nobody knows. It's Ryan O'Neill. The great John Saxon. Ryan O'Neill plays Steve Taggart. who is a reporter who goes undercover in Vegas to write about gambling and becomes addicted to gambling himself. It is, and you guys have both seen this movie.
Of course.
It is spectacularly bad in every possible way, and it's one of the funnest times I've ever had at a movie theater in my life. Oaken and I saw it. We saw it at the Gulf Glen Theater.
Nice.
And just couldn't believe it. And then we went back to meet our friends because we used to hang out at a place called Demetrio's on the corner of Montrose and Central. It was a Euros place. We used to hang out there, and that's where if you wanted to know where we were, that's where we were. And that's, you know, so we met up. And we were like, okay, listen, here's the deal. Tomorrow, everybody is coming to see this movie. You have to see this movie. And then we went the next day. And we saw it again with like eight other people, and it was spectacular. So, you know, there are things like that. Even if the movie is an absolute piece of crap, You have very, very strong, incredible memories attached to the times that you go to movies. And I think that's what we kind of nailed, what we've been talking about. So, all right, you guys, what are we reviewing next week, man?
Well, what do we got? We got a new Cameron Crowe movie.
Oh, I'm looking forward to Aloha.
Yeah. We got that, and we got San Andreas.
Oh, God.
But it's from the director of Journey to the Mysterious Island, Nick.
Yeah, I know. And yeah, I understand that. It looks terrible. But I really always root for Cameron Crowe, and I don't care. I like that damn zoo movie.
So do I.
I know everybody else hated it. I like that damn zoo movie.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, Aloha and San Andreas, and it'll be back on our regular Monday morning. And
yes.
Thank you guys so much for helping me celebrate my 30th anniversary here at GN. And thank you guys so much for being a part of my show for 15 years. It's been spectacular.
Yeah, our pleasure.
And more to come.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Absolutely, you guys.
Sticking with us.
Oh, no, you guys are the best. You guys are the best. And we'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right.
Eric, Colin, these guys rule. And they'll be back next week to review the new movies. And that was kind of a summation of our thoughts on the last 30 years of movies and running down some of our favorites. And now we're going to take a break. And we're going to open up the phone lines, and I want to hear from you. What are your favorite movie moments and your favorite movies from the past 30 years? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Going back to 1985, what are your favorite movie moments and your favorite movies? You can also text us and call us at 312-981-7200. Your calls and your thoughts coming up right here after the break on 720 WGN. Yeah. Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. Good morning. It's Tuesday morning. And this is the first morning of our week-long celebration of my 30th anniversary with WGN Radio. And we've got some special stuff planned. And we've got the phone lines open right now and the text lines. 312-981-7200. We were just talking with Colin and Eric about their favorites and my favorite movies from the past 30 years when I started on the station. Dating back to 1985. And we just want to ask you, we're opening up the phone lines and we're going to have some fun and talk about some of your favorite movie experiences as well. If you want to jump in with your favorite movie experiences of the past 30 years, please do that and your favorite movies. Let me give you quickly some of the stuff that we've got coming up this week as part of the 30th anniversary celebration. Tomorrow, Rich Coves is going to join us. Sven Gulli, our good friend. I couldn't imagine celebrating my 30th anniversary without having Rich on the show at some point, so he's going to be on tomorrow morning. The great Dick DiBartolo is going to join us, one of my favorite guests and one of the first guests I ever had on the show. He's going to join me. He still writes for Mad Magazine, which is unbelievable, and he was a writer for Match Game, and he created Dumb Dora and Weird Willy, all those great characters that were in the questions of Match Game. He created a lot of those and was a question writer for the entire run of the show. And he's a tremendous guest, so he'll be on as well. Stephen Tobolowsky is going to join us Thursday morning. He is a tremendous, a great friend of the show and a terrific actor who has been in a ton of movies and a bunch of TV. Currently can be seen on Comedy Central's insanely brilliant comedy, Big Time in Hollywood, FL. It is just great, and he's hilarious on it. And Stephen's been on the show many times. He's also one of the best storytellers ever. So he's going to be joining us as well. We're going to do some Pat and Ron highlight clips. Because that was a major part of the show for many years. And then Friday morning, Broham and the Count who used to produce my show. Andy Herman actually produced my show for about 11 years. Mike Steven produced for, I think, maybe 4 years. And they're great guys, and they're coming in to reminisce and all that cool stuff. And we're going to play some classic old best of clips. Or there aren't that many because the show, you know.
Stop it.
It's not that good. So, yeah, that's all coming up. But right now, we're going to get to the phones and ask you guys about your favorite movies from the past 30 years and your favorite movie experiences. Celebrating the 30th anniversary. Here we go. Here's Arlene on WGN. Hi, Arlene.
Hi, Nick. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Years.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I really liked 1985, The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, one of my favorites. I love that movie. I really do. And to me, it still holds up. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to believe that that thing is 30 years old. I mean, it just isn't that crazy?
It is.
Yeah.
Well, just look at some of the characters.
Yeah, yeah. I showed it a few months ago at my film club, and we got a really great response, and we got a really packed house, and everybody knew. Like, I kind of know every line of dialogue in that movie.
Yeah, you get to learn them.
Yeah. So, you know, I was 2 years out of high school when that movie came out. So
I'm a little older.
I could still kind of identify with it. I was 2 years out of high school, but that movie, for anybody who was maybe 15 or 16 when they first saw it, even if they saw it on video or not even in the movies, that's a big deal. Actually, all of those John Hughes movies really touched the generation of that time period.
And one of my other favorites, but I don't know the year, is The League of Their Own.
League of Their Own was 92. Yeah, 92. I wasn't a fan of that movie. The one thing that I remember from League of Their Own, first of all, Madonna's in it, and I love her.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I just remember, here's the one vivid memory I have of that movie. Tom Hanks takes the world's longest pee. Do you remember that, Arlene?
Yes.
He's just like, that's the one thing that I, the only thing that I remember from that movie is Tom Hanks taking a really long pee. That's
him telling there's crying in baseball.
No crying in baseball. That's become sort of an iconic line. Arlene, thank you so much for calling in, and I appreciate it.
Okay, and thank you, and again, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, 312-981-7200. Before we get back to the phones, Dan, my man, Dan Long, by the way, in for Dan Shugrue. For those of you who don't know, Dan Shugrue and his wife, Eileen, had a lovely baby girl Sunday morning, her name is Emily Maria, and both mother and baby are fine, so Dan's taking the week off. So Dan Long is filling in for my regular producer, Dan Shugrue. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Nick.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
Okay, cool.
I'm honored, even though we only worked together for about a year, I'm honored to...
you produced my show on Saturdays.
Yeah, to represent the other 29 years of the Nick DiGiulio show.
It was cool because, you know, it was one of those deals where, like, Craig was leaving. You know, Craig was producing my weekend shows.
Yeah, he was and going
He was leaving to go to produce Meyer.
Right.
And it was Krista Flores.
Yes.
Who suggested you. And I was like, well, Krista, because Krista rules, by the way. She's one of my favorite people here at the station.
Absolutely.
She's awesome. And we've got a lot of great engineers. In fact, I love all the engineers here. It's one of those deals. Don't all our engineers kick ass?
Absolutely.
They're great. Krista's awesome. And it was just, you know, like I was trying to figure out, like, what am I going to do? Get a replacement. And then Krista suggested you, because I'd seen you working in the sports department and, you know, working all the time.
Right. I'd be here late at night occasionally.
Yeah.
Wrapping stuff up.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I was like, okay, well, hell, I'm going to go talk to Dan. And I came over and I said, hey, man, you interested in producing my show? And you were like, okay.
Yeah.
And then you shadowed Craig for a couple of nights.
Yeah.
And then you came in and we worked together for a while. It was great, man.
You did, yeah. Went. It's a great story.
Yeah. And now you're producing, like, well, how many shows are you producing now?
Three regularly right now.
That's awesome, man.
If I could plug Dave Holster's Nocturnal Journal.
Yep.
After Hours with Rick Kogan. And the WGN Theater with Carl Amari.
Those are three, honest to God, those are three of my favorite shows on this station. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I really, truly love WGN Theater.
Yeah, and it's...
radio theater. I really love it. I Carl Amari is a great dude.
Absolutely. He's and a wealth of knowledge about
he
stuff
really
that he's
is.
Talking about.
And listening to that stuff, I love following it on Sunday nights. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Oh,
I just
yeah.
think it's so cool. Like, I sit in here.
It's a great lead-in, just topic-wise,
it's
for this
so
show.
Much. But I love sitting in here, you know, doing show prep and listening to the old-time radio stuff. It's so cool.
Yeah, see, that's the worst part about producing it is that I can't just sit and listen
yeah,
to the programs
true.
And, like, appreciate them.
No, they do a great job, and you do a great job. So, anyway, Dan, what about you? What are some of your memorable movie memories of the past 30 years?
Movie memories.
Yeah. And your favorite movies?
Well, you're not going to like this one from 2008, just because kind of how you and Colin and Eric were talking earlier about how, you know, even... You know, regardless of the quality of the movie, even though I happen to like this movie, it reminds you of kind of a time and a place in
sure.
your life.
Well, that's kind of the thing that we're going for here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So for that, I have to go with The Dark Knight.
Well, no. Listen, Colin and Eric love that movie. I'm the only one. I'm the only person on the planet that does not like the Nolan Dark Knight trilogy. I'm the only person. But as you know... Like, Interstellar was number one on my list last year.
Yeah.
So it's not like I don't like Nolan. I love Inception. I love Memento. You know, I guess I like the Christopher Nolan movies that are one-word titles, particularly if they start with I-N. That's the way it goes. What was your experience when you saw the first time, Dark Knight?
Well, I had just kind of... I was fresh off a viewing of Batman Begins, like the couple of weeks.
So you had just seen it, like, on DVD?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I was, you know, I was ready to go, and it was a midnight showing, just, you know, and there's nothing better than a good midnight showing. You know,
very exciting,
friends,
man.
And it feels like an event.
Yeah.
And that's
it really does, yeah.
That's what that screening had. It felt like an event that every theater was packed, you know, people were wearing costumes and stuff, and
yeah.
which added to...
Did you see it regular or IMAX?
Regular.
See, I saw it in IMAX. They screened it for the critics at Navy Pier.
Okay.
The sound was so bassy. Seriously, I think there was a screw-up in the sound department, or the sound in the theater. The sound was so bassy that at the end of the movie, that whole speech that Gary Oldman gives about The Dark Knight,
right?
You couldn't hear it.
Oh, they blew out the...
They blew it out, man. Oh. And that's like...
That's kind of key to...
It's absolutely
the key.
Key
to the whole trilogy.
It absolutely is, man. And we were sitting there going, I can't understand a word Gary Oldman is saying. What the hell's going on? And it was an important part of the movie, man.
Yeah.
So, all right. Do you have a favorite movie of all time?
Favorite movie of all time? I mean, I hate to be cliche, but The Godfather is up there.
Yeah, man. Come on. That's not cliche, man. That's the truth.
Yeah, I guess so.
First of all, you're a man, and that's expected.
And I have a soft spot for the Coen brothers, too. So Fargo and The Big Lebowski are both right up there.
Both those movies rule. My favorite, it's an unusual choice. My two favorite Coen brothers movies, Barton Fink is my favorite.
Oh, nice.
I mean, I absolutely love that movie. I think it's insane and brilliant and original. And I really, really love A Serious Man. That was like from 2009.
Okay, yeah, I didn't see that one.
It's phenomenal. It's really great, and it's one of those movies that harkened back to like early Coen Brothers
okay.
days. You know, the only movie that they've ever made that I don't like, and in fact I hate, is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Okay, yeah, that's it wasn't my favorite, but yeah.
Yeah. Most people really love that movie. The soundtrack's great.
Yeah.
Like, I have no issue with the music. The music's great. I just thought the movie was ridiculously bad. So, all right, cool. Well, we got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then we're going to get back to the phones here. We're celebrating 30th anniversary here of me on WGN, and tonight we're talking about 30 years of movies. Morning, everybody. It's Tuesday morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. This is our celebratory week. Friday, May 29th, I celebrate my 30th anniversary here at WGN. And so each morning, we're doing some special stuff. This morning, we did a whole segment with Colin and Eric going back in time to 1985 when I first reviewed movies here. And we talked about our favorite movies and movie experiences from the past 30 years. And now we want to hear from you. Phone lines are open at 312-981-7200. Here is Steve, and he's in Galesburg on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Hey, I don't like Westerns, never have, but I want to toss in Tombstone. Not just because of the cinematography or the writing or directing, but the cast, the brotherhood, and the last 6 minutes with the friendship and the love story. It makes you forget all about the guns.
You know, I got to tell you, the first time I saw it, Steve, I didn't like it. The first time I saw Tombstone, honestly, I didn't like it. And then I watched it when it came on cable, and I was like, what the hell is wrong with me? This movie rules. It's tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, I still rewatch it and rewatch it all the time.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. And how good is Val Kilmer in that movie?
Oh, I never met Doc Holliday, but I'm sure he nailed it.
Oh, phenomenal. Phenomenal. All right, Steve, take care.
All right. Yep.
Yep, see ya. And by the way, when your lead in a movie, Dan, is Kurt Russell, you're already off to a good start.
Yeah, that's you're at least halfway there.
Exactly right. Oh, Kurt Russell rules, man. All right, here's, let's see, where am I going here? I'm going to Jennifer in Michigan. Hi, Jennifer.
Well, hi there. Good morning, and congratulations on
your
30 years.
Thank you. Hey, what part of the mitten are you at? Where are you?
Well, actually, I'm kind of in the middle of the mitten. I'm in East Lansing, Michigan.
East Lansing.
Is, correct, Spartan country.
Nice. Very nice. Okay, Jennifer, so what are you calling in about movie-wise?
I'm calling you about Saving Private Ryan, and I think it probably just jumped in after watching the Memorial Day celebration and all that stuff going on over the weekend.
Yeah.
But that movie, I mean, really could have been called True Grit. You know, John Wayne could have moved over.
Yeah. I was not I'll be honest with you again, Jennifer, I'm not crazy about that movie, but the first 20 minutes are unbelievable. Just like that, the first 20 minutes of that movie is like I've never really seen any kind of battle sequences like that ever.
I understand, I'm telling you, but I just thought, you know, the time of the year, and then you push me, okay, because, you know, I'm old and, you know, I'm thinking musicals, so see, we'd have to be dancing and singing to really get on my radar.
Yeah. Well, they haven't made a lot of, I mean, they've made some musicals in the last 30 years, but like the heyday of musicals is like the 50s and 60s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm kind of, you know, Gigi, My Fair Lady kind of gal. So,
now, they've made some good musicals, though. Have you seen, did you see Chicago?
Oh, I love Chicago.
Yeah.
Now, Chicago was good. That dancing was awesome, and Queen Latifah rocked.
Everybody in that movie is great. How about Richard Gere? Where did that come from?
Who would have thought this man could dance?
The guy can sing and dance? What are we talking about here?
I know. Wasn't that scary? He even went to acting school.
All right, Jennifer, thank you for calling from the middle of the mitten.
All righty. Thanks so much.
Okay.
You have a great show.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. All right. Hey, by the way, my dad tells a joke. Normally he does it on Monday morning, but I was off. So it's going to be a jokey, jokey, jokey time. And we also have, well, we got to play it, Dan. Yeah. We have an unfortunate Blackhawks Express to play.
Is that contractually obliged? Or?
No, I just do it every morning after a game. I always play the Blackhawks Express, even if they lose. I love it when Steve does it, though, because Steve does the same thing on his show. But when they lose, he cuts it down. He cuts it down to like 20 seconds. So, but we're going to play the whole thing. All right, we got a break. Everybody hang on. The phone lines are jammed up. If you want to text us, you can. 312-981-7200. Your favorite movie memories and favorite movies from the past 30 years here on 720 WGN. Yeah. Morning, everybody. Going back to work today, Tuesday morning. We're here. I had like the week off and, you know, I had a bunch of days off and spent them in bed, sick. So that was fun. That was a fantastic vacation. but I'm back. Here we are. And this is our celebration week. On Friday, it will be my 30th anniversary as part of WGN Radio. And so all week long, we're doing some special stuff. We got some really cool guests and some special things planned, including a salute, by the way. I did want to mention this, a tribute to Roy Leonard, who, by the way, I would not have my radio career were it not for Roy Leonard. And that's how I got my start. For some reason, he liked me. I was a smart-ass 19-year-old when I first appeared on his show. But he saw something in me, and I, you know, forever indebted to the great Roy Leonard. So we'll do a tribute to him coming up later this week as well, as part of our 30th anniversary celebration. Well, this morning we've been talking about 30 years of movies. Colin and Eric and I were talking about our favorite films, dating back to 1985. And now we're talking to you at 312-981-7200. Your favorite movie experiences, movie moments, and favorite movies of the past 30 years. Here's Mary on WGN. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Hi.
Nick, congratulations. I've been listening to you right from the very start with Roy Leonard's show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Mary.
And feel better. Yeah, you'll be feeling better and better.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to just go down a fast list. Some were already mentioned. How about Pretty Women? Pretty Woman.
Okay.
My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
Oh,
I could watch
something?
That movie. You know what, Mary? Every time it's on cable, I watch it.
It was great. How about Witness?
Oh, yeah. Good movie.
Overboard. Green Mile. Dirty Dancing. Notebook. Now, I see some might be a little bit older, but I go back to, like, that other lady from Michigan, all the musicals, My Fair Lady. But here is this another movie. What about Bob? Men in Black. That was one of, yeah. And Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Well, Breakfast at Tiffany's is from the...
That's older one.
Yeah, that's from the 60s.
So, well, good. Yeah. So some were already mentioned, too, that I had on my list. But again, congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
Well, and I hope I'm listening to you again for another 30 years.
Oh, I appreciate that. Okay. I plan to stick around.
Good.
All right, Mary.
Yeah, bye.
Thanks. Take care. 312-981-7200 on WGN. Here's Carrie on WGN. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, good morning, Nick. First of all, congratulations to you, and congratulations to the great DJ Dan.
DJ Jan Shagrew. Yeah, they had a kid.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So mine is an experience. It was 1999, and a bunch of us had to go to a conference in Scotland, in Glasgow, which not a bad thing, a boring conference, but... Of course, at night, there was like four guys together that we all worked together. So we get there, and of course, at night, we're ready to explore. So we did some serious pub crawling, which was cool. But one of the guys about Wednesday of the week says, guys, I can't do this another night. He's a movie freak on your level. I mean, like, a movie freak.
Yeah.
And he's like, how about we go see a movie? I'm like, yeah, that'd be cool, seeing a movie in Scotland. So he's like, have you seen The Matrix? And I had never heard of The Matrix. I mean, I like movies, but I'm not a movie freak. I like it or I don't. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I never heard of it. And we're all like, yeah, sure. He already seen it like three times by that point.
Yeah.
but he's like, let's go. So it was in August, and it was an oddly cool, rainy night. So, and we went to the late show. It was like a 10 o'clock showing. So it's surreal already. We're in Scotland at 10 o'clock going to a movie. So we all load up in one of those UK cabs, you know, the big box things. And we were staying in downtown. So we had to drive quite a ways to the closest theater you found that had The Matrix. So it's already really surreal. And I didn't know what to expect from the movie.
Yeah.
So we get inside. And of course, the first scene of The Matrix starts with a rainy night.
Yeah.
A real rainy night with Trinity. And I'm like, whoa. And of course, I was so blown away by the movie. And it was one of the greatest experiences. I didn't know what to expect from the movie. And then just the context of watching the movie in Scotland on a weird, rainy, kind of creepy night was just, I mean, it's one of my favorite movies. Well, it is my favorite movie experience of all time.
Yeah. No, I can understand that. It's weird because, like, I actually kind of like Iron Man 2 because I saw it in Ireland.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
sure.
Like,
yeah.
I had this great experience. I saw it in Dublin. And so, you know, it's not, in retrospect, it's not a very good movie.
Right.
But I saw it in Ireland, and I was having, like, the best trip of my life. And so,
right.
I walked out of the theater, and I was like, that was awesome.
Yeah, no, exactly. And yeah, mine's the same thing, except I got to see a good movie in my experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I remember the first time I saw The Matrix, I was just completely, as I think most people, completely blown away. I mean, that was like, I'd never seen anything like it. And like, yeah. When it was over, I was like, you know, that was that might be the coolest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, when I walked out, I certainly said that. And like I said, my movie geek friend, we're in the town, and again, like I said, he had seen it like three or four times already.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to tell you anything about, none of us, the other three of us hadn't seen it. So I'm not telling you anything about this, but he wanted to save it for us. He's like, you're going to be blown away, but I'm like, you're a movie. It's going to be a good movie, but okay.
Yeah.
But I'm walked out. I'm like, whoa.
Well, that final shot of Neo soaring up to the camera. It's such a great movie. All right, Kerry, great experience. Thanks for describing it.
Yep. Thanks. Take care.
All right, take care. 312-981-7200 is the phone number here. Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right.
Hey, I'm just back on the road from my open heart surgery.
Whoa. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys, your show survived while I was on vacation, but congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you.
And you guys, I wanted to mention that movie with John Malkovich being Stanley Kubrick.
No, it's Being John Malkovich.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The one about Stanley Kubrick?
No, it's about John Malkovich. It's called Being John Malkovich. It's with John Cusack and...
Yeah, no, total different movie. It's with John Malkovich, where he played the guy who was the Stanley Kubrick impersonator.
Oh, yeah.
True story.
Yeah, it's not called Being Stanley Kubrick. It's got a different name.
I thought Eric and Colin misspoke when they said that. But so there is one called Being John Malkovich.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
That one I haven't seen, but the one about the Stanley Kubrick impersonator, that was a great movie.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. I can't remember the name of it. Well, I'm going to have to look it up. Maybe I'll look it up during break.
And Full Metal Jacket, I don't know if that was before 85 or not, but that deserves a mention.
Yeah, it was 87.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
87.
Well, nobody included that one, but...
Yeah,
and you mentioned Val Kilmer. The movie that Val Kilmer played Dracula was really good, too. I forget the exact title.
Wait a minute. Val Kilmer played Dracula?
Yeah, I thought it was Bram Stoker's Dracula.
That's Gary Oldman.
Yeah. No, but look, Dan Chagoo looked it up for me one time, and we were talking about it. But, yeah, Val Kilmer played a great Dracula.
Wow, I don't remember that at all. That doesn't ring a bell at all. Wow.
Yeah, Google it, and it'll come up, because Dan did before. And like I said, happy anniversary.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, bye.
Take care. 312-981-7200. I've never seen a movie where Val Kilmer played Dracula. Speaking of movies from 1985, and this movie comes up quite frequently because it's one of my favorites and one of Dan Shugrue's favorites, Real Genius, which is just like, Dan, have you seen Real Genius?
No, I have not, but I saw your Facebook post about it yesterday.
Oh, about William Atherton?
Yeah, the William Atherton question, the Ghostbusters. And
he's just such a jerk in every movie of the 80s.
He's a great jerk.
Oh, yeah. No. He cornered the market on jerks in the 80s. Ghostbusters, Real Genius, Die Hard, Die Hard 2. I mean, just such a jerk. Yeah. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. And here till 5 a.m. And then I'm going to hang out for a little while on the Steve Cochran Show after 5. Normally, I do that on Monday morning, but I was off yesterday. I was actually off for the whole week and didn't leave my apartment except for two times because I was sick.
Can you trade in those vacation days for sick days?
No.
Darn.
Not how.
Because it just seems like such a waste.
Not how it works. We are celebrating my 30th anniversary, which is this coming Friday, May 29th. I've been with the radio station for 30 years, starting out reviewing movies on Roy Leonard's show. And so we're talking about movies this morning. We got a lot of special stuff planned throughout the entire week, the anniversary week. But we're talking about movies right now and your favorite movie experiences and your favorite movies from the past 30 years, starting in 1985. We got a couple of lines open if you want to sneak in here, 312-981-7200. Before we get back to the phones and back to the conversation, by the way, my dad's going to be calling in to tell a joke. It's a jokey time. That'll be happening around the 4:45-ish break. And we have an unfortunate Blackhawks Express to play as well before Cochran's show. But here's the deal. Speaking of Friday, May 29th, you are invited to join us at the WGN Walk of Fame induction ceremony this Friday at the Tribune Tower. We're honoring 10 broadcasting legends outside on Pioneer Court beginning at 1 p.m. on Friday. Bring a chair. Enjoy the celebration commemorating Steve Bertrand, Lyle Dean, Dave Ennett, Steve King, Johnny Putman, Franklin McCormick, Lou Manfredini, Ward Qual, Ron Santo, and Eddie Schwartz. You can get pictures with your WGN hosts and see the Walk of Fame featured outside the WGN Radio All-State Showcase Studios. Visit WGNRadio.com/Walk of Fame for complete details. The WGN Radio Walk of Fame is presented by the Chicagoland and Northwestern Indiana Chevy Dealers and PermaSeal Basement Systems and Foundation Repair. It's going to be a big day, so come on down. It all starts at 1 o'clock right outside in Pioneer Court. All right, let's get back to the phones. Here is Dan on WGN. Hey, Dan.
Hey, happy three decades for you, buddy.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, I remember listening to you when my dad would always wake me up in the morning for high school. He would listen to Roy Leonard every morning. And that's how I recognized your voice. And I was like, why do I know that voice? And that's why.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Yeah. It all goes back to Roy Leonard. We'll pay tribute to him later in the week. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, sure. And so the movie that, a couple of movies, but one in particular that I like, not because of the special effects, because even for the time they weren't that great, but was the movie Big Trouble in Little China.
One of my favorites.
Kurt Russell has this way of reacting to everything in the movie that's sorcery-like or anything that has special effects in it. As an actor, he's never seen the effects yet because they didn't make them in those days until later.
Yeah.
But he just knew how to create that sense of, like, what just happened? You got to be kidding me.
Dan, the thing about that performance, the thing about that character, Jack Burton, that Kurt Russell plays, is that he's a buffoon. And that is, I think, the part of the genius of that movie is that your hero of the movie is a complete buffoon who screws everything up.
And even when you think about it, though, so is the bad guy. That plays the evil Chinese dude.
Yeah,
he also goofs up and makes mistakes.
Yeah,
which is kind of I think that's a good foil against.
Well, it's a great movie. It's John Carpenter. It's my favorite filmmaker. Yeah. And it's a great movie. 1986 came out a year after we're talking about.
And another movie I like is, for special effects, it was probably pretty good for what it was as a movie. But Roy Scheider.
Dan?
Well, because of Roy Scheider he had in this movie, 2010. It's kind of a sleeper movie. It was a sequel.
Yeah.
To 2001, of course.
Well, yeah. The thing about 2010 is that if you don't compare it to 2001, it's actually a really good movie.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of have to go with it as it's really a the next part of the story. It's not really
It's a completely different kind of movie than 2001. And everybody, when it came out, everybody was like, oh, God, oh, no, it's no 2001. I'm like, well, nothing is 2001.
Right. You can't do that.
Yeah. Good movie. All right, Dan, thanks, man.
Okay. All right, bye.
312-981-7200. We got some phone lines open if you would like to sneak in here. We're talking movies from the past 30 years. What are your favorites? 312-981-7200. And some of your favorite movie experiences of the past 30 years. Here's Jerry on WGN. Whoa. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Gary.
Okay. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Nick? Happy 30th, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. One of my favorites is Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
What's his name? Steve Buscemi. What's his name? Manson.
Michael Madsen, yeah.
Michael Madsen. I mean, they made those stars. Did you know one thing about, and for one thing, who shot Nice Guy? You remember that?
Nice Guy Eddie?
Yeah. Nice Guy Eddie. But they said that Michael Madsen's character, it was Vega, supposed to be the brother to John DeVoe.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Now, they just did a prequel of that. That would have been a nice movie there.
Yeah. No. Reservoir Dogs is one of the most brilliant directorial debuts ever. It just burst upon the scene. It was like, oh, this guy, Quentin Tarantino, is the real deal.
Yeah, because all that dialogue in it was fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
One thing I'm going to ask you right quick. Have you ever seen 11-14?
How do I what?
Have you ever seen 11-14?
11-14.
With Patrick Swayze and Tom Hanks' son.
No, I haven't seen it. I heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
Nick, you got to see that movie. I know it's old, but you got to see that movie.
All right, I'll check it out. I got to run, man.
Okay, now.
Take care.